This is certainly has been a major release of information, the WikiLeaks Afghan war logs. Is this the first time you had seen something like this done in this way, this sort of leaking of information?
Well, there's a lot of different ways that information's been leaked. I think what made this unique was the massive amount, which, of course, is possible in the digital world now. And another thing that made it different was, or another feature of it, was that it appeared in several places at once and with different takes on the material from three major news organizations. And then, of course, you had the site itself, WikiLeaks. So we're used to information being leaked, but the massive amount is what I think surprised people.
And what does that do as far as people's ability to make sense of all this documentation?
Well, I think it requires some work, quite a bit of work, to make sense of it on your own. I obviously haven't been able to go through all of it. I think it helped a great deal to have three news organizations, Der Spiegel and The Guardian and New York Times, taking some viewpoint and making some sense of it, which is what journalists should do. And they had a fairly long lead time in which to do that. WikiLeaks had given them the material, but embargoed it. So, you know, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to get your own take on the material yourself.
One thing interesting to me here is this is material that's being released on the Internet, but it was also released to three newspapers, three well-established newspapers. And what does that say about the status of old media and new media?
Well, it shows that what's been known as old media still has a place in the world of new media, and probably more so as everyone adjusts, because we're really looking to credible sources and credible journalists to make sense of the tremendous amount of information that comes at us. And so you can see a need for good journalists more than ever. When you get this kind of documentation, you want to go to places that you can trust, and hopefully multiple places, to get different takes on the material and to at least get the initial filtering of it in terms of organization and what the important points may be.
Looking at the material and the coverage you've seen so far, what do you think is the most newsworthy or most important thing to come out of these documents so far?
Well, it's been an interesting case. It's a lot of people have said that if you were paying attention, you would have known that many of the issues highlighted in the reports have been discussed and were being addressed. Certainly the Obama administration has said is doing that. But I think what struck me was the amount of detail, particularly in combat reports. And so probably it was getting to see the complexity of this war, getting to see all the different elements of it. And you certainly can't say that this is a simple endeavor. I think it gives people a lot of information on how the war has been conducted and what the difficulties, what the incredible challenges have been.
Now, the difference here, of course, it was released to established media, but it's now, I guess, now online for anybody to look at. And this does pose a different removal of filtering that wouldn't have been there before with these sort of leaks. Usually, secure documents would stay with the reporter and the newspaper or news outlet, and they would decide what they would publish from it. But here it is also going out raw to the world.
Right, but it's my understanding that it's still not as raw as it was when they got it, that there have been names removed, identifying places, even what WikiLeaks is dealing with. And that's what's been reported. But there's no question that there can be bits of information in there that you or I or an average citizen wouldn't know it's important, but somebody engaged in the war from any side might find some valuable information that no one else realizes is valuable. So it does take it to another place, and that's a new area for everyone, and it makes people very very nervous and worried. On the other hand, there may be things that are important in there that will be brought to light later on that no one in a newspaper may have noticed in the rush to get this in. Even having weeks to work on backgrounding this, there are things you're going to miss.
Both American and Afghan officials have said that there's a danger to citizens or troops because of what's in these documents being released. And what do journalists do in a case like that, especially when they don't have a control over the information?
Well, if you don't have control over the information, there's only so much so much responsibility you can take for it. Certainly what the journalists have gone through and have published, they tried to do it with as much caution as possible and least peril to people. But, you know, we're not talking about journalism when we're talking about release of documents to a public, you know, if they're raw. Now, WikiLeaks does claim to be a journalism organization, and that's being debated. But even they have been careful. They say they've been careful with what they put out. But, you know, when you get down to this level of detail, you can't be entirely sure that there isn't something risky in there.
What do you think's what do you see as far as this being a trend for the future, how this will affect journalism and news gathering and just public knowledge of world events in the future?
Well, this actually just emphasizes how things have changed over the past years. I mean, there have been things, information going out on the internet for some time, and so the changes already occurred. It means that there'll be expectation by the public that they will get to see all of the documents behind the story, and so that changes it a bit for journalists, knowing that they are going to be in a two-way street now, that, you know, crowdsourcing, intentional crowdsourcing, where you put things out and ask people to comment on them, has been going on. But it also allows the public to scrutinize more how journalists interpret and filter data and documents. And so that's going to level the playing field a little bit more between those that were used to controlling more of the information, how it was viewed, and those that have been receiving it. You now have citizens actually engaged in feeding information to a journalism story as it's being published and as it continues to be worked on. So it's changed a lot. There'll be more transparency on documents. There'll be more pressure on journalists to be even more accurate. And in the end, handled correctly, you'll have a much better informed public.
One thing I was thinking of, this is really quite an info dump here, and this is thinking about how so many established newsrooms are smaller than they used to be. Can journalists go through this information with the ease that they might have done a decade or two ago?
They actually, with new digital tools, can go through it much more quickly than they used to. I started working with electronic documents and data in the late 80s, and there were just a few of us then. And what I found that was terrific was that where it would take me 3 weeks to look through 4, 5, 6 boxes of documents, I now could group, categorize, and start to search as a million records or documents in a few hours, and then decide on what details really to look at. There's work going on all over the country and here at the University of Illinois in text mining and developing digital tools that will make it much easier to take that first pass through any large info dump you might get.
When organizations can release the documents of their choice directly to the public, is there a greater danger of being spun towards one viewpoint or another? Or was that danger always there?
It's always been there. Journalists have gotten spun when they don't use multiple sources, when they don't remain skeptical. That challenge it remains on everything. And I think the one thing we're going to find is that we're going to have to do a lot more checking and react less quickly to what we see on the web. There's lots of great information, but there's also a tremendous amount of misinformation. And we're seeing people get into the habits of checking things and deciding whether they're a rumor or not. I think what we're going to have to do now is not react so quickly to what we see. I think we've seen some instances in the past few years where there is citizen reaction or government reaction to something, to some information that was found to be absolutely false within, 24 hours. So we're going to have to take a little bit more time to assess what we're seeing and hearing.
Is there greater temptation now because of the 24-hour news cycle not to do that, though?
I think there has been, but I think that's really changing. Since we're getting some instances, recent administration official who was fired before all the facts came in and the facts were checked out. I think in the end we'll get closer to the truth, that is, within the 24-hour cycle. But the key is going to be to take the time to check it out. I think probably the current administration learned that, and I think it's the public we're going to have to learn to do that.
Well, Professor Houston, thank you very much for talking with me about these issues.
Well, thanks very much.